Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from Pastor John Twitchell at the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
So the story is told of a couple of painters who had been hired by their local church to paint the outside of the church, including the steeple. Now, this story is not obviously about our church, because we don't have a steeple and our outside is covered in vinyl siding. But unbeknownst to the church, these particular painters, well, they had a bad habit. Again, obviously not our painters, who did such a marvelous job. But these two painters had a bad habit. They would thin their paint. They would add either water or turpentine to their paint and thin it to make it stretch and to make it last longer, cutting costs and obviously increasing their profits. Well, the painters set up their scaffolding all the way to the top of the church. They climbed to the top of the steeple and they began to paint, working their way down the steeple. They got about two-thirds of the way down the steeple when a rogue thunderstorm came up. The lightning flashed, the thunder crashed, and the rain poured down. The painters were knocked from their scaffolding, and the thinned paint began to wash off the steeple with the torrential downpour. And then, in the midst of the storm, there came a moment of quiet. And a booming voice from heaven called out, "Repaint! Repaint and thin no more!" Some of you had heard that before. I know. It's all right. Some of you had not, so now you have a new joke to tell. Isn't that nice? Corny preacher jokes, aren't they great? However, this morning, I don't want to talk about repainting. This morning, I want to talk about repenting. Repent. Oh, that is an important word in Christianity. But it is a word that carries an awful lot of baggage, too. Both inside the church and outside the church. Now, at its simplest meaning, repent, it means to turn around, to do an about-face, or as John suggested last week at the conclusion of the service, it means to reorient oneself, to get oneself in the proper alignment mentioned by that song, "The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back." That's the simple definition of repent. But we all know that the word repent carries a lot more baggage than what is implied by that simple definition. Most anyone who hears the word repent is hit with images of a fiery television preacher telling them about how bad they are, how rotten they are, or a sidewalk evangelist with a megaphone, or one of those sandwich board signs that says, "Turn or burn." For most people, the word repent is far more likely to conjure up images of the lake of fire than it is to conjure up images of streets of gold. That's the sort of preaching we heard about in our Old Testament lesson this morning, isn't it? That sort of fiery condemnation preaching, the preaching that Jonah did in Nineveh. Did you notice? There was no good news in Jonah's message, but simply a proclamation that went a little bit like this. 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. If you read the whole story of Jonah, it appears that God worked in spite of Jonah. Amen? If you read that, you learn Jonah didn't want the people of Nineveh to be saved. Jonah didn't want the people of Nineveh to change. Jonah hated the people of Nineveh, and he wanted them to be destroyed. He was gloating in his proclamation, 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. And so instead of preaching a message of hope, Jonah preaches a message of damnation and destruction. Jonah's message for the Ninevites, if you could boil it all down, it's basically like this. There is no hope. It was as though he took a line from that game show that was popular several years ago. You know the one. It was as though Jonah said, "You are the weakest link. Goodbye." Far too often, when the world hears us say repent, when the world hears us talking about sin, they don't hear good news. Instead, they hear Jonah's message. There is no hope. They hear a holier-than-thou attitude that might as well be saying, "You are the weakest link. Goodbye." Like the people of Nineveh, the world around us often hears the church issue words of condemnation and hopelessness. And yet, in the midst of Jonah's story, there's a glimmer of hope, because despite Jonah's very poor preaching, the people's hearts were changed. They turned toward God. God worked in spite of Jonah, and God spared them. But I want to ask this question this morning. I want to ask, what was missing from Jonah's preaching? What was missing from Jonah's preaching? And I want to suggest to you it was one simple word: repent. Ironically, that one word that carries so much negative baggage is the one word that Jonah could have used to bring his bad news to become good news. The one word that would have turned his message of hopelessness into a message of hope. That one word would have changed this hopeless message into one full of hope and possibility and transformation. No, but Jonah's preaching was full of righteous indignation, was full of condemnation and hopelessness. Despite his failure to preach a hopeful message about repentance and a better way, God's Spirit moved among the people. They responded, they were changed, they were transformed, and God delivered them. But if Jonah had included that word, repent, suddenly his message would have been a message of good news. Repentance. Repentance is actually an essential part of the good news of the gospel. A call to repentance is not a call of bad news at all. It's not a call of condemnation. Get this. A call to repentance is a reminder that there is something better. That there is hope. A call to repentance tells us that God is doing a new thing and there is a better way. That's why the word repent is good news. Don't believe me? Hang on. Our gospel lesson today is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. This passage is about Jesus calling some fishermen to leave their nets behind and to follow him. I'm going to read the whole passage this morning, but I want you to pay particular attention not to the bit about the fishermen and their nets. I want you to pay particular attention to the first two verses. Hear the word of the Lord. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Well, this morning, we could hear a message on what it means to leave your nets behind and follow Jesus. I don't know who else remembers it. Dan, I still remember a message that your brother Davis gave here many, many years ago. 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I don't know. Davis brought a net with him. Does anyone else remember this? And he preached this message about the nets. And as he preached this message about mending the nets, he was sitting up here with his thimble or needle or spindle or whatever you call it, and he was mending a net and showing us how it was done. We could preach a message like that, or one about leaving our nets and our fishing boat in order to follow Jesus. Some of you were here on homecoming weekend just a few months ago, and you heard Pastor Jeff Barker preach a message about Zebedee's Fishing Company, and he wondered what it would be like to be Zebedee. It used to be Zebedee and Sons, you know, but after the Sons left, it was just Zebedee's Fishing Company. And Pastor Jeff suggested that there's a call to those who stay behind, a call to faithfulness, a call to cast the nets, catch the fish, clean the fish, sell the fish, mend the nets, do it all again the next day. But this morning, I don't want to focus on either of those two possible messages. I want to focus on these two verses. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming, say it with me, the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Mark tells us that Jesus was proclaiming good news, and then he tells us what the good news was. That the good news is the kingdom of God is near, and to what? Repent. The good news of repentance. Really? In a world where we connect the word repent to images of hellfire and brimstone, Mark wants to tell us that repentance is good news. In an evangelistic culture where we have often tried to, forgive the expression, but we have tried to scare the hell out of people, literally, we would do well instead to hear these words of Jesus, that repentance is good news because repentance leads to the kingdom. Why is repentance good news? Because the word repent necessarily contains the idea that something better is possible, that there is another way, that a better life is available. Let me talk about some things that repentance doesn't mean this morning. Repentance doesn't mean to simply try harder. That's how most of the world views repentance. We say, repent. They hear, you're not good enough. Try harder. And yet, try as we might, there is no way for us to better ourselves on our own. No way to make up the cosmic gap between ourselves and God. Repentance also doesn't mean to get religion or to get religious or to try to keep the rules. That's what some people try to do when they hear repent, but that's not repentance either. You know what that is? Keeping the rules and getting religious, you know what that is? It's a fresh coat of paint. Religion and keeping the rules is like a fresh coat of paint. Let me explain what I mean by that. Obviously, our fresh coat of paint is awesome. Everything is clean and fresh and warm and inviting and soothing and calming. These are all some of the adjectives that some of you used this morning as you came in. It was a great facelift to the sanctuary. But it's just cosmetics. It's just like trying harder to keep the rules. A fresh paint job does nothing to address underlying issues with the building or the location. You know that, right? And don't get me wrong. We are blessed with our lovely building in a beautiful location to have such a beautiful old New England style building to worship in. But we all know the building has issues. There's no storage space, there's limited parking, there's no handicap accessibility. You get the idea. And a fresh paint job does nothing to address any of those underlying issues. We still today have no more storage space than we had last Sunday. Sorry to tell you, Mona, you still got to take all that kid's stuff home. You can't just leave it here, right? That's a joke. We still have almost no storage space. We still have, you know, limited parking, and we're still not handicap accessible. See, this is the idea. Many people see repenting as repainting, something cosmetic, trying harder, following the rules. For them, repentance is like pushing the secret hidden things even further down beneath the surface so nobody sees them. But that's not true repentance. That's just a fresh paint job. The prophet Ezekiel, he talks about this a little bit in one of his prophecies against false prophets. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Because they lead my people astray, saying, peace when there is no peace. And because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. See a fresh paint job? Therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it's going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? In other words, repentance has to be more than just trying to follow the rules, more than putting on a mask, more than stuffing those secret things even further under the surface. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. He's talking to the Pharisees, and this is what Jesus says. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." You see, when repentance is viewed as trying harder, or keeping the rules, or simply putting on a good show so people think you're good enough, that you're religious, if repentance is those things, you know what? Repentance is bad news. Because we can't do it. When repentance is simply trying to avoid condemnation, then repentance is bad news. But in our gospel lesson today, Jesus links repentance with good news. Jesus links repentance with the kingdom of God. Jesus links repentance with life. When we've talked about repentance as a turning or a 180, and we've used that language, we've often always talked about the turning from something. We talk about turning from sin, or turning from gossip, or slander, or greed, or lust, or gluttony, or hatred, or discord, or all those lists. We talk about turning from those things, but repentance is more than just turning from things. Certainly that's part of it. God calls us to turn from sin, but that's not the end of repentance, because if it were, that would just be bad news. Repentance also involves turning towards something. Repentance isn't just turning from darkness, it's turning toward the light. It isn't just turning from sin, it's turning toward holiness. It isn't just turning away from our selfish desires, it's about turning toward Christ. It isn't just about forsaking the kingdoms of this world, it's about living out our lives as subjects in the kingdom of God. Ready for some more good news about repentance? Repentance isn't just something that we have to do on our own. This is not an isolated individual activity. There's another part to repentance that usually comes just a little bit before repentance, and we use the word confession. Now, confession probably is something we have to kind of do on our own. It's a response to what God's doing, but confession is when we acknowledge who we are. It's when we acknowledge where we are. Confession is when we admit the truth about ourselves and our situation. Confession is when we recognize there's a gap between us and God, a gap between who we are and who we were created to be. So yes, confession, that moment of speaking the truth about ourselves, is something we have to do, responding to the grace of God that reveals the truth to us. But here's the good news. Repentance isn't about your strength of will. It isn't about you trying harder. Certainly, you have a role to play in repentance, just like Abraham and Sarah having to participate in their miracle. You have to participate in the making of the miracle that God wants to do in your life. But the good news of repentance is that it's not about trying harder. It's not about working to keep the rules, and it's not something you have to do on your own. For God's grace enables us, God's Spirit empowers us, and here's the good news of repentance. God does the transformation within us, from the inside out, to turn from darkness toward the light. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the good news of repentance. It's God's work within us. Repentance means it's not business as usual. Repentance means that transformation can be ours by the grace of God. And Jesus links this with the coming of the kingdom of God. He reminds us that the order of the day has changed. The world is full of new possibilities, and our lives can be realigned with the coming kingdom. One writer put it this way: "The kingdom of God is not simply an improvement of conditions on the ground. The kingdom of God is an alternative to those conditions. To belong to a new regime that exists as an alternative to all other power arrangements requires an entirely new set of commitments. To belong to the new age coming in the fullness of time necessitates more than change. It necessitates a turning, a reversal. One simply cannot stay the same and welcome the kingdom of God." End quote. This is good news. It's good news that there is something better than the current situation, something better than what we currently know. It's good news because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's good news because of that word we use at Christmas time, Emmanuel. It's good news because of Emmanuel, God with us. Remember, I said this isn't something we have to do on our own. If you were with us at our Christmas candlelight service that Friday night, two nights before Christmas, we talked about the messiness of that first Christmas. How the good news of Emmanuel is that God came into the world as it was, not as we wish it might have been. And that he comes into our lives as we are, not as we wish we were. And then on Christmas morning, we talked about the second part of that story. That even though God comes into our lives as we are, he has no intention of leaving us that way. The good news is he transforms us. Even though Christ came into this world as it was, he didn't leave it that way. For where we find Christ, we find transformation. A story. A story perhaps to help illustrate the good news of Emmanuel. The story is about a man who fell into a pit. And try as he might, he couldn't find a way out of the pit on his own. He began to sink into despair there at the bottom of the pit with no way out. And as he did, a doctor walked by. The doctor looks down into the pit. He sees the man and calls out to him. The man calls back and says, "Hey, doc, can you give me a hand?" The doctor reaches into his pocket, pulls out his prescription pad and writes down a prescription, tears it off and throws it into the pit. Walks away. Man's face fell with even less hope than before. Well, a few minutes later, a minister comes walking by. The man calls up, "Hey, Padre, can you help me out here?" The minister pulls out a pad of paper, writes out a prayer for him, folds it up, tosses it down into the pit, and goes on his way. Pretty soon, the man's friend walks by. He looks down into the pit. The man calls up, "Hey, friend, can you help me out of this pit?" And without thinking twice, throwing caution to the wind, the man jumps into the pit, both feet first. Startled, the man looks at his friend and says, "What in the world did you do that for?" And the friend looks at the man and says these words, "Friend, I've been in this pit before, and I know the way out." The Bible tells us that Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That he is the true friend. That the good news is he came all the way from heaven to earth to show us the way to live. Not in a condemning way, but as one who jumped into the pit with us, willing to show us the way out. It's probably one of the most familiar verses in all of Scripture. You're bound to see it on some banner this afternoon while you watch the football game. 3:16, it'll say on the banner, right? They still do that. Somebody, I'm sure. Banner man's out there. Most familiar verse in all of Scripture. Why don't you say it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And that's usually where we stop. And we stop too soon, for we miss the really, really good news of verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Repentance isn't about condemnation. Repentance is about hope for a new and better way. Repentance is not bad news, but good news. Repentance is about the hope we have of a better way, not just trying harder, not just a fresh coat of paint trying to cover up our secrets, and not something we have to do on our own. Instead, repentance is turning from darkness into light. An acknowledgement of the hope that we have when we confess who we truly are and who he is. And we ask him to enter into our lives and transform us from the inside out. And whether you've known Christ your whole life or you're simply exploring the claims of the gospel, God invites you to confess the gap between where you are and where you wish you were. The distance between yourself and God, the difference between who you are today and who God created you to be. And once we take stock of our situation, once we honestly confess our need for continual growth and transformation, then Christ invites us to repent. It's not a bad word. It's not a dirty word. It's a good word, full of good news. To repent, whether it's from those big, huge secret sins you don't want anyone to know about, but maybe to repent for some of us is to think about the good things that occupy us, keeping us from the best things that he calls us to. To think about the distractions in our life that constantly pull and tug at our lives away from where he wants us to be. Those are things we can repent of too. And as we confess and repent, we find transformation in our lives, transformation brought about by the Holy Spirit. With grace and confidence, then we can offer that very same good news to the world around us. First Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Why? "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And that, my friends, is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news of repentance.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. Pastor John would love to hear from you with any questions or just to let him know where you're listening from. You can send him an email at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. May God bless you as you serve him today.